Thank you for downloading this podcast from City Church.
If you have your Bible, want to open it to Ephesians, the second chapter. Be looking in Ephesians chapter 2. Is anybody glad that you're saved? Ephesians 2, reading verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I hope you see in that passage the fact that we did not save ourselves. I hope you see in that passage that the only reason we are saved is because God is rich in mercy and His great love toward us. We've been talking about big miracles in broken lives. Well, I want to tell you the biggest miracle might be mercy to the multitudes. Whomever you are, wherever you are, whatever you've done, if you will ask God to forgive you and save you, you can be saved. The most vile and the most wicked and the most wretched, if they will call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. I want to celebrate with you today that for me, Easter is not over. I didn't let Easter happen last week and I forgot about the Lord this week. I'm glad that Easter is not over for me, and I'm glad that Easter is not over for you. We are here today celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's just as raised this week as He was last week, and I'm just as obligated this Sunday as I was last Sunday and the Sunday before that. I'm going to give Him worthy praise. We got a 10:30 service. Come on out. Easter ain't over. Lift up holy hands. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, we seek to bless You. We seek to honor You. We seek to anoint You. Father, we thank You for the biggest miracle possibly ever is mercy. Lord, when we didn't deserve it, You gave it. When we didn't even know we needed it, You gave it. When we couldn't have dreamed it up, You gave it. It is by Your abounding mercy that we are in this building saved. But we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. Father, I want to celebrate today. So I pray that every person in this room have a spirit of adulation and a spirit of celebration, that we be reminded this is a holy day and we are here to be blessed and we are here to be a blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the people of God that agreed said, God bless you. God bless you is our prayer. When we begin reading in Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to list several scriptures, and if anybody's ever heard me preach before, you're not going to be surprised by that. But we begin to read in Ephesians chapter 2, the scripture just starts off and says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. That causes me to think of 1 John 4 and 10 that says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. The scripture says that God made Him who knew no sin to become sin. You can bring that down when you like. God made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. When I began to think about God being rich in mercy, I realized that God saved us for the sake of mercy, period. He saved us because of His great love. He saved us because He is rich in mercy. I did not deserve to be saved. You did not deserve to be saved. We were all deserving of an eternity apart from God. But God, who is rich in mercy. I think about Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, where the Lord speaks. You're a holy people to the Lord your God. Is it okay if I celebrate with you that we're not junk or garbage or filth? He said on that side of Calvary to his chosen, his beloved, but you're a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself. You don't belong to the world. You don't belong to Satan. He's chosen you as a people for himself. Anytime you want to, go ahead and just clap or smile or look like something just struck you in a good way. He has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure. I don't know if y'all hear. I may have had something wrong with me. I feel like I'm reading Deuteronomy chapter 7. I feel like I just said about everybody in this building that God chose us as a people for himself. He chose us as a special treasure above all the peoples of the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor did he choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I celebrate with you that I am saved. My sins are washed. My robe is white. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. If I wasn't saved, I wouldn't shout neither. Verse 10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Wow. We are not aimlessly flung into the earth. We are not just thrown into this life. We are appointed. John 15 and 16, Jesus said these words, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." When we began to celebrate being loved for no other reason than he loved us, when we began to celebrate being his own chosen people, when we began to celebrate that he said we are holy, we are his workmanship, and we were not created for mishaps, and we were not created for misfortune, but we were appointed for successful works and answered prayers. We were appointed for success. I think about the world in which we live, and there is animosity by the truckload, by the cargo shipload. And I think about people who are angry at me because they don't like their life. Friend, I can never make you happy about your sin and your brokenness. It must come from Jesus Christ. When I think about what's going on in the world around us, and I turn on the news this morning, and they're scaring me the best of their ability with this strain and that strain, and if you're not careful, we'll be right back where we were. And I want to say, listen to me, somebody. It was the sins of this nation. It was the sins of this earth. It is rebellion of mankind that is inviting the calamity. Come out from them and be exalted in the sight of God. Be who God's called us to be. He's anointed me. He's appointed me to be successful and to pray answered prayers. His idea is for my success. His idea is to answer my prayers. Somebody say amen. That's his idea. That does not happen apart from elevation. Can I just say it this way? And listen, we don't have a dress code at City Church, so I'm not trying to get people to dress like me. I dress this way because I don't want to be outdressed by a sportscaster. They'll be wearing ties and sport coats, talking about golf later today, and I'm talking about Jesus, and I promise you, he's better than golf. So we don't have a dress code here. I'm just telling you why. I dress this way because I'm William Newton's son, and that's enough said. Newton. I got Earl. I got off lucky. Hey, Bill. Newton Jr. That's my brother. I'm dressed this way this morning, but I will not go home in this outfit and change the oil in any vehicle. I'm just not going to do it. Now, my work clothes, you might laugh at. Pam says work clothes ought not have a collar, but I like collared shirts. So sometimes people think my work clothes look pretty good, but the reality of this is I understand that there's been a change happen in my attire. If the church could understand, there's been a change made in our souls. There's been a change made in our spirit. There's been a change made in our lives. We are not called to live in the deadness and the dryness and the despair of the sinful world, but we are called to be God's workmanship. Doesn't happen apart from elevation. Verse 6, he's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Suddenly I understand that who I was, I'm not anymore. What I was, I'm not anymore. So what I did, I don't do anymore. Suddenly I realize I'm not just in the presence of people. I'm in the presence of Almighty God. Make up your mind that you've been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It'll change the way you think about your life. It'll change the way you think about yourself. Psalm 48:2 says this of the church: beautiful in elevation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a place of worship. The people of Mount Zion are the people of worship. In the Old Testament, that was said, but in the New Testament, it speaks of us, the people of worship. May I tell you that the place of worship and the people of worship are to be exalted and they are to be elevated. The Lord did not save us to leave us in shame, and he did not save us to leave us in sin. He saved us for no other reason than he loved us. He loved us where we were, but he loved us too much to leave us there. He raises us up together. I've had people before use horrific language in front of me, and then they would find out I was a pastor and they'd say, oh, I'm sorry. I'd say, friend, you don't owe me an apology. I didn't die on the cross for you. Can I just say to the body of Christ, don't ever worry about if you're around religious folk. Understand that he saved you for no other reason than he had mercy on you. Understand that he delivered us for no other reason than he loved us. And understand he did that with a thought in mind. And his thought is that I be successful. And his thought is that I pray answered prayers. And his thought is that I be raised up together and cause us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. May I remind you that the church is beautiful in elevation. We are not beautiful in the muck and the mire. We are beautiful in elevation. We are beautiful when we allow God to raise us up and we begin to behave in a way that is in keeping with his spirit. When we begin to behave in a way that is in keeping with his idea, that, my friends, is beautiful. 1 Peter 2:9. If you don't mind, I'm going to give you the New Testament version of Deuteronomy 6. You're a chosen generation. The whole bunch of us is chosen. You're a royal priesthood. Sorry about that, friends. I don't have any time to pray to the Pope, even though he's got the cool bulletproof Pope Mobile. I had some friends once that were going to get me a ride in that thing. I don't know whatever happened to that. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. Look now, you're a holy nation. Holy means separate. Preacher, I'm afraid that we stick out. We do. Don't be afraid. You should stick out. You should be different. We're a holy nation. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to go back to King James on this one instead of his own special people. The King James said, we are a peculiar people. Stop trying to fit in. Go ahead and choose peculiarity over popularity. Because I declare to you that peculiarity will lift you up and it will exalt you. And what are you called to do? You may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. He called me out of darkness. He didn't leave me there. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. May I say to the body of Christ today, you're not junk, you're a jewel. May I say to the body of Christ, you are not lost, you are liberated. May I remind the body of Christ, you are not cast down, but you are lifted up. You are raised up by a spirit of grace. You are raised up by a reality of hope into a brand new realm of victory in Jesus' name. I'm reminded of this wonderful lady minister, Marilyn Hickey. And she said she was on a plane ride with a fella. And he began to ask her, he told her what he did, and asked her what she do. And she told him she was a Christian. And he began to feel sorry for her right in front of her face. Oh my goodness, you mean you don't ever get to go out drinking or clubbing, and you can't ever step out on your husband. Named all these things that Christians in his mind don't get to do. And she listened to him for the longest time. And she said, well, I hope you won't take this the wrong way, but I need to fix this for you. It's not that I don't get to do those things. It's that I don't have to do those things. You see, sin is not my master anymore. I'm a brand new creation. Can I just say, bring up 1 Peter 2 and 9 one more time. Bring it up. You're a chosen generation. I remind you, in this is love, not that you love God, but that God loved you and gave his son to be the atoning sacrifice of your sin. Honey, I'm not leaving my Thanksgiving last Sunday on Easter. I declare that I celebrate the resurrection every Sunday, and I'm celebrating that hanging upon that cross, he chose me. Hanging upon that cross, he chose you. I speak a blessing over a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar. You go ahead and stick out like a sore thumb. I'll take peculiarity over popularity every day of the week. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. We're in a nation that our government has turned insane. And the church is scared to be the church. God told me to tell you, be the church. No. Be the church. You go ahead and speak truth, even if they don't understand it. You speak it anyway. You go ahead and be peculiar. You go ahead and be royal. You go ahead and be holy. You go ahead and be chosen. Don't you be what they want you to be. Don't you be who they say you are. You go ahead and be who he made you to be. Go ahead and be who he died for you to become. So there are words here that I like. I love the word chosen. How about you? I like the word royal. Will Harry and Meghan attend Prince whatever's funeral? I don't know. They're going to attend mine. If I die, I'm royal. I mean, Oprah, chill out. I'm telling you right now, I'm just as royal as anybody's ever been. Oh, my goodness. Current events scare us. They're going to say he's a racist. They're going to say that anyway. Good gracious. Have you not learned? They have no arrows in their quiver but racist and bigot and homophobe. I'm chosen. I'm royal. How about you? Holy. There's a word. Holy. Without spot. Without wrinkle. Without blemish. Peculiar. I know what y'all thinking. But friends, before I came here, y'all were still blowing on birthday cakes. If you're out there and you don't know what I mean, listen to me. Way before the pandemic ever came about and Dr. Fauci or anybody else ever came out, before Joe Biden ever got 95 million votes and Al Gore invented the internet, I was here telling people, don't blow on birthday cakes. That's spit on top of a cake. Why would I want to eat that? So now here we are, and somebody said, don't be so strange. And I said, I want to be stranger. And now here we are, and somebody said, don't be so difficult. And I say, no, friend, he said that difficult is a way that leads to everlasting life. And I say to the body of Christ today that he has called us out of darkness. He has called us out of darkness. There should be a light switch by the Holy God of creation that turned on the light in your life. And you ought to not be in darkness, but you ought to be in his marvelous light. That word marvelous in the Greek literally means an awe-evoking sight. Do you read where he said in the ages to come he might show forth his mercy? That word marvelous, the marvelous light of God, is an awe-evoking sight. It gives a dramatic sense of wonder, and it moves the beholder to their deepest emotions. Honey, you ought to be so holy that people cry every now and then around you. You ought to be so anointed that people get moved and struck by awe around you. You ought to be so peculiar that people have to scratch their head and wonder what's going on. We are living in a day right now where Christian universities are being sued openly and shamed openly because their code of conduct lines up with thus says the word of God. Let me tell you right now, you're not going to get where you want to be, and that is heaven. You're not going to get where you want to be. You'll never be quiet enough to satisfy them. You won't get where you want to be. Succumbing to the Antichrist, you go ahead and rise. You go ahead and shine. You go ahead and be who his love demanded you would become. Let everybody in the house with hands put them together, and let us begin to concentrate on magnifying the Lord together. And let us say out loud as a people that we agree with what is being said, and we will show it. I'm talking about there ought to be light in this building that moves you. There ought to be, honey, if there's not enough light in this building to move you, I promise there ain't enough light in you to move any sinner outside. Marvelous. God through us wants to put people in awe and get them in contact with their deepest emotions. Lord, give us seeing eyes, hearing ears, receptive hearts, and sensitive spirits. Ephesians chapter 1. As a matter of fact, don't even bring it up. I'm just going to roll through it. You don't even have to bring it up. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would come to grips with and know three things. Number one, that you might know the hope of his calling. Number two, that you might know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Not sinners, saints. Richly glorious inheritance of saints. Number three, that you might experience the exceeding greatness of his power toward those of us who believe. Power that he first worked when he raised Jesus from the dead. May I just say that there is still power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. May I remind everybody in this house, it still reaches to the highest mountain and it still flows to the lowest valley. It is his blood that sets me free and gives me strength. I came to celebrate with you today. Did you come to celebrate with me? I came to celebrate with you. I'm not who I was, I'm not where I was, and I'm not doing what I was doing. Three things: the hope of his calling, that all men might be saved. Is it okay? Can we just say that? Why Jesus come? That we might be saved. I pray God give you a spirit of wisdom, revelation, in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. I hope you leave out of here today seeing yourself as beautiful in elevation. It doesn't matter if they hate you for being beautiful. You go ahead and be beautiful. Stop trying to be popular and embrace the Lord said you're peculiar. We might know the hope of his calling. We might know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, not sinners. Stop saying that you're a sinner. Every time a saved person says they're a sinner, hell loves it. I am not a sinner anymore. I was a sinner. He applied his blood to the sins of my soul. I am a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But not only that, and this is where the American church better come to grips with the power and the reality of God. Why did Jesus come? Why did he make us richly glorious? That we might know the exceeding greatness of his power toward those of us who believe. God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Is it any wonder that the same bunch that tells you he no longer fills with the Holy Spirit is the same bunch that tells you you can't live right and you don't have any authority? You're just a spiritual invalid with no authority over your own ideas or your own mind. I rebuke all of that in the name of Jesus. I cast it down. I cast down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in your life. And I say that if you're in Christ, I want you to see through things. I want you by the Holy Ghost to see why he came. I want you by the Holy Ghost to see the riches of the glory of his inheritance in your life, and you're a saint. And I want you to know that God intends for you to experience, not just read about in a book, not just be glad it happened to Smith Wigglesworth, but you, right where you are, experience the exceeding greatness of his power to everybody who believes. That is all in keeping. Every scripture I'm reading you and what I'm preaching you is in keeping with the resurrecting power of the Spirit of a resurrecting God. Romans 5 and 10. Write this down. Read this later. Memorize this. For if, while we were still sinners, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Let's read that together again. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having already been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Honey, if he made up his mind he accepted me before I ever knew he was lost, if he made up his mind that he had appointed me before I ever was aware I was lost, if he, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved me, made up his mind that he was going to reconcile me, then how much more should I experience him on this side of Calvary? If he loved me then and there, my goodness, what should I expect here and now? If he saw you as saved before you ever were saved, then how should you see yourself now? Somebody say amen. In case you hadn't realized, I'm a little up on the chip here today. I say it again, Easter's not over for me. I say it again, Easter's not over for me. I say that I'm not moved by a calendar or Hallmark or any advertising strategy. I declare that he loved me when I was lost and undone. If we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, while we were still enemies of God, please, do you... Maybe I'm just simple-minded and this just tears me up. Maybe. If we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, what in the world do y'all reckon being saved ought to look like? He had every reason to look at us pre-Calvary. He had every reason to look at us pre-conversion and think, you make me sick. I didn't create you to live like you are. You know better than this. Every one of us grew up in the United States of America. We've heard enough gospel preaching to save the whole world 50 times over. But the Lord could have looked at us as enemies and could have hated us, but that's not what he did. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has loved us, God reached down his hand of love and his hand of mercy, and he touched my life being dead, and he made it alive. And he touched these eyes being blind, and he made them see. And he touched this heart being stoned by sin, and he made it fleshy again. And he touched this spirit that was disbelieving and hardened, and made it life-giving again. I declare to you, if God did all of that while I was his enemy, then I better expect him to do something great while I'm his son. Stand up all over this building and give God some praise. I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you are, but I declare if you're saved, you ought to be shouting. There ought to be a joy. There ought to be a shout. There ought to be triumph. Where are y'all at? Y'all up here? Y'all with me? Because I'm going to tell you where I am. I'm raised up together. I've been made to sit together in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And here's how I got this thing figured. There's a lot more notes, but this is it. Here's how. By the Holy Ghost, I have this thing figured out. If he saved me by the death of his son while I was still his enemy, what in the world should I expect while I'm his son? What do you need God to do? What do you need God? We have become so conditioned with problems because we didn't want to mess anybody's pandemic up. We just toting stuff around. Oh, right after they told me, is it the Australian strain or the British strain? There's some strain. I thought it was Australian. They said, that's not a strain. This is a strain. The six of you that got that, it was awesome. While they were trying to scare me with the new strain, then they said, some of you have developed heart problems during this pandemic and you don't know it because you didn't go to the doctor. Pam! They just said I'm dying if the new strain don't get me. Hypertension's got it. I'm making fun. They can't make up enough stupid, bad, negative news stories to make them happy. They cannot get you sad enough to make them glad. Well, I got news for everybody who's watching this, and I declare over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that if while we were still God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, I speak over you right now that as his child who he saved by grace, as his child who he saved by love, you have every opportunity to have every need met and every prayer answered. Romans 8:32, page 4, second to last slide. You people don't realize how much preaching y'all just missed out on. God, who is rich in mercy, caused me to pass over a page of notes. He who did not spare his own son. I don't watch it a lot because I find it very slow developing. But that Pawn Stars show where people bring stuff in. And you know, you never know what they're going to do. Oh, maybe we do. Oh, hold on, let me call a friend. No, leave that up. I ain't finished. Come on, bring it back up. Let me call a friend and we'll have him appraise this and see what it's worth. Now, they're bartering over this thing, maybe $5, maybe $500. But the expert shows up. Expert says, oh my goodness, this is so rare. I've not seen one of these since the Civil War. Now, that dude looked good to be alive in the Civil War, by the way. And here's what they say. This thing is worth easily $5,000, but if you'll put it up to bid, there's no telling what someone would pay for this. And suddenly that thing that guy found in his grandma's basement that still smells like mothballs that he really didn't care about, he just took it on the plane right out there. All of a sudden that thing now has a brand new place on his mantle because somebody might pay $10,000 for it. Well, let me tell you what I know about you. What I know about you is that God, he didn't call an expert because he is an expert. And he's rich in mercy. And because of his great love, I'm going to tell you what he thought you were worth. He didn't think you were worth $1 billion. He didn't think you were worth the continent of Africa. He didn't think you were worth all the gold and all the hills and all the banks. What God thought you were worth was the blood of his only begotten son. And he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I declare that salvation is yours, peace that passes understanding is yours, joy that's inexpressible and full of glory, healing and hope and provision. And I don't know where you are, but I know where I am. I'm living in the place where the God of heaven said, don't go anywhere. I don't have to call an expert. I don't have to call a friend, but I'm going to send a friend who's closer than a brother. And so, Jason, you didn't read my notes, and you didn't know I was doing this, and I didn't know you're offering scripture, but why don't we just close it with this? Matthew 6:26. Matthew 6:26. They got so stuck, they don't hear me say much, leave it up there. They just got all comfortable. That's my son. I know who's up there this morning. Wake up! Just kidding, he's awake. Look at the birds of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Verse 28 says it this way: consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say that even Solomon in all of his splendor was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Well, let me say to you right now, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it is by the word of God this morning that I have declared over you that God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, has lifted us out of sin, elevated us into heavenly realms, and he has answered every prayer, and he has met every need. Isaiah 65 and 24, it'll come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. So if the way I talked about this, it offends some people to say post-pandemic because they say we're still in it. I don't want you to be offended. But if you're offended with how I talked about a post-pandemic life, you've heard me preach since this thing started. I care about people. I care about people who have lost loved ones. I care about people who have passed. I'm not indifferent. I don't mean to be cavalier. I don't mean to seem that we don't care and have no empathy for our fellow man. But somebody's got to hear me. There's got to be a point in time that we start trusting God again. There's got to be a point in time that we say, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. There's got to be a point in time that we say, even when this body is destroyed, in my flesh I shall see God. There's got to be a point in time where we really believe that death is swallowed up in victory. So let me say when that point in time ought to be. How about right now? How about right now? Skeeto, what about it? Is now okay? You got time? Fit in your calendar? How about you? Is it good with you? I say right now. The devil's a liar. I say right now, the devil's defeated. The president is going to take our guns. Really? Really? He's not going to come to Alabama. He's going to stay right up there with all the people that got him elected with fraudulent votes, talking nonsense and gibberish. And when he's finished, they're going to say, wasn't that great? That's the greatest thing since Ronald Reagan. And if Ronald Reagan could look down from heaven, he'd have been mad. But we know he's at rest with the Lord, so we're all good. Ronald's still okay. Where do you live today? I'll tell you where I live. I live in a home that Jesus is Lord, but I keep driving on streets where Satan is seen. I live in a home. I worship in a church. I work around people where Jesus is Lord. Some of you work around people. They didn't just have the audacity to vote to sanction evil. They'll argue with you why evil is good. So why don't we get all of our focus on off all of the fray? And why don't we say this? But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, here's what he said about us. He said that we're a chosen generation. He said that we're a royal priesthood. He said that we're a holy nation. He said that we're a peculiar people. And here's the reason for that. That his marvelous light might bring people in awe of the fact. Why are you all upset? Why aren't you mad? Why aren't you scared? Well, here's why. Because he thought enough of me that he paid Jesus for me. And I figured anything he's going to pay Jesus for, he wasn't going to leave it out in the rain to rust. And the body of Christ said, amen. Somewhere my dad is so excited that we didn't leave tools out in the rain to rust. Where are you? Where do you live? What do you think? What's happening in your mind right now? Are you thinking that's all well and good, but I'll be out of here in a little bit? What are you thinking? Are you thinking that I want to take this message I was just given and I want to storm the gates of hell? Are you thinking that there's a world out there that needs to hear the kind of message we're hearing in here? What are you thinking? Because here's what I'm thinking. An Old Testament prophet by the name of Balaam. And when I say prophet, I mean warlock. God made him see how blessed Israel was. God made him see. And he exclaimed, oh, that I could die the death of the righteous. Here's what he thought. Anybody that cared for in life, the afterlife has got to be incredible. Don't let, as Bobby Bowden would say, don't you let some dadgum warlock know more about Jesus than you do. Bobby Bowden, I threw that out there. Please don't let a warlock know more about God's feelings for you than you know about God's feelings for you. Because you know what else he said? The same passage, he said, there I see a nation dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. Oh, God, have mercy. Don't reckon yourself among the fallen peoples of the earth. Be elevated so that the fallen peoples of the earth might know there is still a God in Israel.